Leaders are all around us, at all times, and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Dalton Gooden, president of the Carver Neighborhood Association. Hosting the conversation is KWBU President Joe Riley. The Central Texas Leadership Series is sponsored by HEB, a Texas tradition for more than 100 years, serving and supporting of your neighborhood to enrich your quality of life. HEB, here everything's better. This program was recorded June 21st, 2012 at the KWBU studio.
Welcome to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Joe Riley, and I'm talking today with Dalton Gooden. He's the president of the Carver Neighborhood Association. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, we are certainly pleased to have you, and we've listened in the past to Becky Fogles. She's done stories, and she's talked to you before, and we've met before, and we just are delighted to have you here and kind of get a little bit of sense of who you are, and we want to talk about you and your experiences, and we want to talk a little bit about the Carver Neighborhood Association. You are the president of the Carver Neighborhood Association. Tell me about the neighborhood.
Well, it's basically just a neighborhood of folk who have, like, in some extent, been on the short end of the stick most of the time, you know. So Carver Park has been in that location in regards to the city of Waco and in regards to others who have lived in the city and thought it best to move out. And what we have now is what's been left after the folk who used to make up or at one time made up the neighborhood moved away.
What are the boundaries of the actual Carver Park and Carver neighborhood?
The Carver Neighborhood Association boundaries would go from north to south, Heron Street over to Waco Drive, and from west to east from the river on out to, say, New Dallas Highway.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that's a good strip through East Waco, that side of East Waco.
That's the Neighborhood Association's territory. Now, Carver Park itself doesn't cover that much of the neighborhood over there.
Okay.
It would go from, like, Heron to Waco Drive and from Faulkner Lane up to Garrison Street, maybe.
Mm-hmm. How would you say that the Carver neighborhood, your neighborhood, well, maybe East Waco in general is important to the city of Waco? How is it important?
Well, I would think that it's important because it's a part of Waco, and in that it is a part of Waco, and it helps to make up Waco. It would seem reasonable to expect the same consideration from the city as the other areas of the city. Gets from the city of Waco.
Did you grow up? Where did you grow up? You didn't grow up in that neighborhood.
I didn't grow up in East Waco. I grew up in North Waco until I was like 16 years old. I lived in the Baylor area now, what's considered the Baylor area. The urban renewal movement moved everybody out in that initial neighborhood where we lived.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, we lived on 4th Street in the 1300 block, and from it was a creek that ran right through that area. It come behind the bow pit or across and right down between 4th and 5th Street and before it made it turn to the river. And we lived in that area from, at that time, was Jones Street. Dutton was Jones Street from 4th Street back to the river and all the way down to Bosque, were predominantly a black neighborhood from 4th Street to the river, yeah.
Yes, and so there was urban. What prompted the urban renewal? What was that?
I'm thinking, if I would guess, you know, because it took took place in town when those kind of things wasn't my primary concern or consideration or what have you, but I would guess that it just barely needed some room to spread, and at this time they've already taken up that area that where we once lived, and barely has gone all the way to the river at this time. Yeah, they made a lot of good progress there. Uh-huh.
Now, was it a move up for you and for your family, or how would you describe that?
It was a displacement. It was an adjustment that, in a lot of respects. But it was a move up, I would venture to say, because for where we lived, the neighborhood was an old neighborhood. The housing was old homes, you know, old structures and what have you, dilapidated, and had served their time. And to move out of that area, even under those circumstances, proved to be an advantage for us because we moved in a much better dwelling when we finally located again.
Your family, when you were growing up, you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I'm the youngest of a family of seven siblings, you know, with myself. But during that day and time, you had what was considered an extended family. It was always somebody that moved in with somebody else. At one time where we lived, we had seven in the house, you know, as far as children go, along with my mom and dad, that made nine, and with them and others who came to live with us, you know, because of various circumstances that took place. At one time, we was up at 14 folk about in the home, or maybe about a two-bedroom home, you know, a kitchen and a sitting area.
Are family members still around Waco? You have all those relatives? Are many of those still here?
No, some of them have passed on. I've lost three siblings since that time, and what the situation was, we just had one black high school. In I don't know what the radius might have been a 50-mile radius, what have you. And when a young person got to the age where they needed to, say, move into the high school, they had to come to Waco to attend A.J. Moore High School. Mm-hmm. And that would be like, at that time, it went from like the ninth grade to the 12th grade. Mm-hmm. Had a four-year high school program.
So you went to A.J. Moore?
Yes, I went to A.J. Moore.
What did you do after high school?
Well, immediately after high school, I went into the armed forces. It seemed to have been the trend of all young boys at that particular time, black young men, that the best thing for us to do was to, and that we couldn't go to college, didn't have the funds to go to college, no avenue whatsoever that we could take that would produce the funds that would enable us to go into college. So the next option was to go into the armed forces, and that's the option I took. I went into the armed forces for 4 years.
What'd you do in the armed forces?
I was a firefighter in the armed forces, and moved up to stayed there for 4 years. Had opportunity to go to Far East. Spent about a year and some months over there, and came back and finished my time out and got out. And when I was thinking that there was something better for me rather than armed forces, because it proved to be somewhat different than what I had anticipated, and I got out, and only to suffer some ongoing unfavorable circumstances and had some real bad experiences, but we worked through that.
Now, I may be skipping around a little bit in the timeline, but you told me when I was talking to you another time that you studied to be a school teacher?
Yeah, when I went to school, I started school 10 years after my class had graduated. We graduated in 1956, and most of my classmates, I would think, went into college at that time, a great number of them did. I went in service and got out after 4 years, and then I spent 6 years trying to find a path that would be conducive to what I wanted to try to make of myself in life, and eventually I had to go back to school. So I went back to school. I started in 1966 at Paul Quinn College, and I spent 5 years. It took me 5 years to get my degree and my teacher certificate. Yeah, so I got a teacher certificate, teach school, did my practice teaching at A.J. Moore High School, and I was ready to go. But I really never did get off into the classroom in a permanent way, so to speak. I did some substitute teaching, but I didn't ever just take that path altogether. And it really was something that I wanted to do because at that time I felt it was something that I needed to do in the sense that I wanted to rub shoulders with a lot of young people and hopefully influence them to make some real good choices in regards to their life. I did it in another way, but not in the classroom. Mm.
For those of you who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series, and I'm Joe Riley, and I'm talking today with Dalton Gooden. He's the president of the Carver Neighborhood Association. Now, eventually you became a firefighter, a civilian, in civilian life, right? Uh-huh. When you got out of the military, did it occur to you that you wanted to be a firefighter?
Well, yes, it did. In fact, I had made some, decisions that led me in that area. But this part of the country wasn't where my decision was going to lead me. I had looked at San Francisco, and I had looked at Los Angeles. Because in coming back from the Far East, we came through those areas of the country, and they had signs, across the street, banners across the streets in those cities saying firefighters were wanted. So when I got my discharge, I wanted to go back out there and see if I couldn't apply for one of those jobs. And that didn't happen because I lost my father right at that particular time. And we had made it as far as Midland, and we were living with my brother at that particular time, and he passed away. That was like in September 1960. So we came back, my wife and I, had one child at that particular time. And it seemed to have been an absolute necessity that I stay with my mom for a while anyway until mm-hmm. she made the adjustments, and fulfilled the void that my father had left.
Mm-hmm. Did you try to get on with the Waco Fire Department?
Yes, I did, but it wasn't immediate that I tried to get on. It was like about 3 years later. They were running some ads, some announcements, or maybe should say, firemen wanted in the city of Waco. And I went to apply for that position, for that job. And, of course, at that time, as the conditions were, they wasn't giving applications to African-Americans to be firefighters in the city of Waco at that particular time.
When did you become a firefighter with Waco?
It was like 5 years later. It was 1968 in October, down in October, was given an opportunity to come aboard with the firefighters in the city of Waco.
You're still living in East Waco at the time.
Yes, I had moved. I was still in East Waco at that particular time.
Now, were there any of your co-workers at that time living in East Waco?
Co-workers for?
From the fire department.
Okay. Not initially. I was the only firefighter, from my area of the city. In fact, I was only African-American firefighter in the fire department when I went in. So, no, we didn't have anybody from that area going into the fire department.
Yeah. What was that in terms of your neighborhood and the people who lived around you? What was that like for them that you were with the fire department?
Everybody thought that was a big step, a minor step in a sense, but a major step in a sense, because he considered it as having been progress for blacks in the city of Waco overall to move up in the area of the city job, what have you, and be employed like with the city of Waco fire department. And that was when I got the job then in 68, this is 68, they had started to hire blacks in other areas of the city. They were they weren't firemen, but they were working on the trash in the refuge department, and I had worked in the refuge department myself, and up in the streets and like that, other areas of the city, they had started to work. To set the stage for all of this, we have to understand what the consciousness of the overall society in America was at that particular time, and the thinking overall was that an African American or a black person in America had a place, and it wasn't a place where they considered reserved just for white American men, So, and the fire department was one of those places. You just didn't go and make application and become a fireman, not in this area of the city, and not in this area of the country anyway.
Did you feel like you were setting an example?
Yes, I felt like I was setting an example. Most of all, I felt like I was obtaining an opportunity to gain some employment so I could take care of my family, and that's what the great need was at that particular time. I had a wife and two children, three children when I became employed, and I was desperately in need of some welfare, some now, finances.
Right. Now, I know Becky, when she talked to you, there was a story about your uniform and wearing your uniform home. Was that important?
That was important to me. The black neighborhood is a different kind of neighborhood than any other neighborhood in the city. And the Waco PD looked at it differently. And black males didn't always have a good relationship with the Waco Police Department. And in that respect, to have on a uniform also kind of shielded me from being what I would call a hassle, about the Waco Police Department, about certain things, So that was one of the things that I thought of the uniform as providing for me. But more than that, I wanted it to pass on to the youngsters who might have been looking up on me a message that, hey, look, I'm opening up an avenue here that you could take if you so desire to do that, Things have changed, or things are changing right now for blacks in America, and it may be something you may want to consider. And that was the kind of things that I was thinking of in that particular time. Mm-hmm. And I wore the uniform with pride and with that concept in mind that I could influence somebody else to consider, you know, that area of employment in the future.
Mm. For those just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Joe Riley, and I'm talking with Dalton Gooden, president of the Carver Neighborhood Association. When did you become involved in the Neighborhood Association?
Oh, well, it's been about 15 years that I've been involved to a very small extent initially, and then I've become more involved as time moved on and the demand for more involvement became necessary. As the opportunity came about, I took on a little bit more responsibility and a little bit more responsibility. And it's just been recent. Maybe this is my first term here for the Carver Neighborhood Association. And I was in the position to be considered, and they considered me, and I'm pleased to have been able to step in and maybe make a contribution.
Mm-hmm. What's going on right now with the association? What's happening in the neighborhood?
Well, overall, you know, Waco is looking forward to a revitalization of the city, and they're going to do some real positive things in all of the neighborhoods that make up the overall community of the city of Waco, and East Waco is being targeted for some real good things, and primarily going to be rebuilding some homes, building some new homes, and redoing some older homes, bring them up to standards, and have a lot of vacant lots because of dilapidated homes having been torn down and what have you. They're gonna come in and build some new homes to fill those lots. Now, we have three organizations that have collaborated with East Waco Neighborhood Association, and they are Habitat for Humanity and NeighborWorks, and also Waco CDC.
The Community Development Corporation.
Yeah, Waco Development Corporation.
How important are those kinds of partnerships in getting things done?
Well, it's important because we don't have the revenue, nor do we have built in the community itself the organizations that can do the work that needs to be done in the neighborhood. So these organizations bring that to the table when they come into the neighborhood. If a house needs to be built, they can come in and do that. Either one of those organizations can do that. And also, they're going, you know, we have a old neighborhood, so we have older folk in the neighborhood. And so some of the older folk gotten to that point where they can make the adjustments in their homes that complements where they are health-wise, you know, as they have grown older. So they need ramps and what have you to assist them. Inside the home, they need different things with reference to, you know, in the bathrooms and places like that where they have to have that kind of help for handicapped. They have to have handicap ramps for the outside of the homes too, so they can get in and out of the home without much, you know, difficulty. Mm-hmm. and a little bit more independency.
Mm-hmm. I first met you in it was Today's Action, Tomorrow's Leaders. It's a leadership development program that grew out of the Community Visioning Project. It's sponsored by Waco Foundation and the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce and MCC and Waco Leadership Forum. So a class of emerging leaders from all around Waco. What can you tell me about that experience?
Initially, that experience for me was a realization that I might have been some places that I may not needed to have been. I could take it was a lot that I could take advantage of, but I was out of my setting, it seems, initially. But I went in and anyway to and kind of pushed all that aside. By that, what I mean is that I'm an older person. I'm much older than the folk that I had classes with. Most of them was like about the age of my grandchildren, you know. And I had to make an adjustment initially in that area there. But it put me in a setting where I hadn't been in a while, where I could learn something, is what I thought. And I did learn some things that assisted me in doing the work that is expected for me to do in the neighborhood association that I had. So it was a trying experience, but it was a real good experience for me.
Mm-hmm. What's your impression? It was a group of leaders, up and coming leaders, as you say, some younger than others, but from all over Waco. What's your sense of leadership in Waco and people, the resources that we have as for leaders and upcoming leaders in Waco? Is it encouraging?
Is it encouraging to me?
Yes.
It's encouraging to know that we have some folk there who can step in and do the job if it becomes necessary for them to do so. I think the young people that I had opportunity to meet had great potentials in those areas, you know, where they can step in and do the job, and there's something that they want to do, and I think that's one of the major things about a leader, becoming a good leader, in that it's something that you want to do. You want to be out front. You want to take on the responsibility, and as a job that you want to get done. And I think when you're sincere and dedicated, you have some folk who will come aboard with you and help you get that done.
Mm. What do you think the greatest leadership needs are in Waco right now?
Well, that's a pretty tough question. The greatest needs for the city of Waco, I don't know if I can adequately answer that question because I don't know the city overall, but right there in East Waco, the greater need is participation, you know, to get somebody to come in and get involved. You know, you can't start to lead anybody unless you get involved, you know. And in East Waco, we're struggling to get enough interest built up wherein people to come aboard and get involved in what we're trying to accomplish over there in East Waco.
You have advice for leaders?
Well, if I would give somebody any advice at all, it would be that if it's something that you have some reservation about to any extent, don't take on the responsibility. You want to it's something I believe that you should want to take on, and irregardless of what confronts you, you'd be ready to take it on until it's over with and see it through. Yeah.
Well, Mr.
Total
Gooden.
Commitment.
Total commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Total commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Gooden, it has been a pleasure to get to know you and a little bit more about you and a little bit more about the Carver neighborhood and really your thoughts and your experiences about leadership. Now, this is helpful to all of us as we seek to grow and be a better community. So thank you so much for joining us.
It's been my pleasure. Appreciate you having extended invitation to me to come.
This program was recorded June 21st, 2012 at the KWBU studio.